The one-act players present The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. Today's adventure, A Scandal in Bohemia.
To my friend Sherlock Holmes, she is always the woman. I have seldom heard him refer to her under any other name. In his eyes, she eclipses and predominates the whole of her sex. I believe his feelings for her were as close to love as his precise and perfectly reasoning mind would allow. When this case began, it had been some time since I had seen Holmes. After my marriage, our paths crossed less frequently, but I knew he remained at our old lodgings, buried among his books and instruments, alternating between cocaine and ambition. That he remained deeply attracted to the study of crime, there was no doubt. I often noted his name in the papers, associated with cases abandoned as hopeless by the official police. One summer's night in 88, as I was returning from a call to a patient, I passed by the old door in Baker Street. I heard the strains of his violin, glanced to the open window above, and felt a keen desire to see Holmes again. A quick knock at the door, up the stairs, and I was in the presence of my old friend.
Hello, Watson!
Oh, good evening, Holmes.
Have a chair, will you?
Thank you.
Wedlock suits you. You've put on 8.5 pounds since I saw you last.
A mere 8, I think.
Indeed. I should say your scales need a calibration. And in practice again, I see. This evening's patient was by the riverside, I note.
I should know better than to ask, but how can you deduce this?
It is simplicity itself. A gentleman walks into my rooms smelling of idioform, with a black mark of silver nitrate on his right forefinger, and a bulge in his left overcoat pocket where he has secreted his stethoscope. Oh, Watson, I would be dull indeed not to pronounce such a man an active member of the medical profession.
Bravo, Holmes. But the patient, surely...
Ah, there, inside your left shoe, I note fresh scrape marks at the edges of the sole where you have attempted to remove mud. But enough remains to identify. By its grey colour, I can state with certainty that the mud in which you trod is composed mostly of common river silt.
To hear you explain it, it seems so ridiculously simple, Holmes. I fear my eyes are not as good as yours.
You see, Watson, but you do not observe.
Quite so, I'm afraid.
Well, you have arrived at an opportune moment to engage in some observation. Have a look at this envelope.
It is addressed to you here. No note of the sender. No postmark. Hand-delivered.
And the letter inside.
Yes. There will call upon you tonight at 7:45 a gentleman who desires to consult you upon a matter of import and urgency to a great house of Europe. You are known to be trustworthy. This account we have from all quarters received. Be in your chamber at that hour, and do not take it amiss if your visitor wears a mask. This is indeed a mystery, Holmes. What do you imagine it means?
I have no data yet, and it is a capital mistake to theorize before one has data. We must not be tempted to twist facts to suit theories. Now, apart from the message, what do you deduce from the letter itself?
It appears a man's hand. There is no signature or monogram, so he is being quite circumspect. By the quality of the paper, the gentleman is presumably well-to-do. But the stock is peculiarly strong and stiff.
Peculiar. That is the very word. It is not an English paper at all.
Ah.
Hold it up to the light.
Ah, I see a watermark. E.G. followed by P, then G.T. The maker, I presume.
Not at all.
No.
No. G with a small t, a common contraction, stands for Gesellschaft, which is German for company. The P, of course, is for papier. Now, the EG, that is most interesting. I had to refer to the Continental Gazetteer for that. It stands for Egria, located in Bohemia, noted for its numerous glass factories and paper mills. So, my good man, what do you make of that?
The paper was made in Bohemia.
Precisely. And the man who wrote it? It's German.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Note the construction of the sentence. This account we have from all quarters received. No Frenchman or Russian would have written that. No, only a German is so uncourteous to his verbs.
What else?
What else indeed? Who is this German who writes upon Bohemian paper and prefers to wear a mask rather than show his face? Oh, I believe we shall meet our mysterious letter writer now.
Shall I go then, Holmes?
Certainly not, Doctor. Stay where you are. This promises to be most interesting. It would be a pity for you to miss it. Come in.
You heard my note? I told you I would call.
Pray, take a seat. This is my friend and colleague, Dr. Watson, who is occasionally good enough to help me in my cases.
You may address me as the Count von Kram of Bohemia. I would prefer if we spoke alone.
I'm sorry, but it is both of us or none.
All right, then. As this matter may have an influence on European history, I must bind you both to absolute secrecy.
I promise.
And I.
You excuse, please, the mask. The august person who employs me wishes his agent unknown to you. And I confess also the title I gave is not my own.
I was aware of that.
I am instructed to employ your services for avoiding an immense scandal, a compromising of a reigning family of Europe.
Am I to know the name of this reigning family?
The matter implicates the great house of Ormstein, hereditary kings of Bohemia.
If your majesty, King Wilhelm Gottreich von Ormstein of Bohemia, would proceed to state your case, then I should be better able to advise you.
Mr. Holmes, they said you are clever. You are right. I am the king. Why I should attempt concealing it?
Why, indeed?
You, please, understand, sirs, I am not accustomed to doing such business in person. Yet, the matter so delicate, I dare not confide it to another. Therefore, I come incognito from Prague for the purpose of consulting you.
Then, pray consult.
The facts are briefly these. Some 5 years ago, during a lengthy visit to Warsaw, I made acquaintance with the well-known American adventuress Irene Adler.
Ah.
The name is familiar to you.
At the time, the Imperial Warsaw Opera Prima Coloratura, no doubt.
This is true.
Watson?
I believe she now resides in London.
This is also true.
And your majesty became entangled with this adventurous lady, wrote her some compromising letters, and is now desirous of getting
yes.
those letters back.
But how?
Was there a secret marriage?
Absolutely not.
No legal papers or certificates?
Nine.
Then I fail to follow. If these letters are produced for the purpose of blackmailing your majesty, how is she to prove authenticity?
There is the writing.
But forgery!
My private notepaper.
Stolen.
My own seal.
Imitated.
My photograph.
Bought!
We are both in the photograph.
Oh, dear. Your Majesty has indeed committed an indiscretion.
I was mad, insane, but such a passion I could not control.
You have compromised yourself seriously.
I was only Crown Prince then, young, foolish. But I tell you, no man can resist such a beautiful and remarkable woman.
The photograph must be recovered.
This it she will not part.
Your Majesty must pay. It must be bought.
She will not sell.
Stolen, then.
Bah, twice attempted. Once her luggage diverted, nothing. Burglars ransack her London house, more nothing.
Do you know what she proposes to do with the photograph?
Ruin me.
And how, precisely?
In 3 months, I wed Clotilde Lortmund von Sachs-Meiningen, second daughter of the King of Scandinavia. A marriage such as this, my conduct, a mere shadow of doubt, would end the matter.
Are you sure she has yet to use the photograph?
I am sure.
And why?
Because she said it would be sent to certain newspapers. On the day my engagement's proclaimed to the public, that will be Monday.
Oh, then we have 3 days yet. That is very fortunate, as I have one or two matters of importance to look into just at present.
But I told...
Your Majesty is staying in London?
Yes, at the Langham by the name Count von Kram.
I shall drop a line to let you know how we progress.
Could you not attend to this matter presently?
I'm sorry. No. But in due time, Your Majesty.
But...
As to the money...
For the photograph. I would give a province.
For present expenses.
I have £300 in gold and 700 in notes.
And the mademoiselle's address?
Brioni Lodge in St. John's Wood.
Good night, Your Majesty. You
I
shall hear from us shortly.
£1,000? Holmes!
Hmm? Ah, yes. Well, Watson, I have some matters to attend to. If you would be so kind as to return here tomorrow at 3 o'clock... There will be a task for us to accomplish.
Why, of course. I shall see you tomorrow.